For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Our man Anthony Dasher, nice enough to back it up a day for us like he did a couple of weeks ago. Good morning, Dash. How are you?
Hey, David. Doing pretty good today.
Good to hear. UGASports.com. Tomorrow, what is it? 2 weeks from tomorrow, National Signing Day. So the Bulldog Nation is, what would you say, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a tizzy are they in right now? And when I say tizzy, I mean like in a good way.
I think it's a 9-plus right now, if just based on where Georgia stands in the team ranking right now, which on Rivals is number 3 in the country right behind Alabama and Ohio State. And it's, just based on that, it's really shaping up to be one of Georgia's best recruiting years. And really, honestly, since I don't know when.
Could be their best ever, couldn't it?
It could possibly be. I'm not sure if they've ever finished, at least this is the rankings have been started, doing like they've been done. I don't know if they ever finished that high. I don't think they have.
Like you said, and just as far as, I guess, since they've been keeping rankings and that kind of thing, even that Dream Team from what year was that, 2011?
11, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They finished fifth, I think, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. And I was about to say, I think that's the highest that I could call a Georgia recruiting class being. This one here has a chance to top that one easily.
You know, here's the thing, though, about that class as highly ranked as it was. I think I went back and looked at your ranking at Rivals rankings, and the next 2 years Georgia finished 12th both years, which that means they were probably middle of the pack in the SEC. That's do you feel like that's kind of going to be what the difference is between this coaching staff and the previous one? Is Kirby has a really good chance to follow up, stacking the classes is basically what I'm getting at here.
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean, I thought he did a great job last year coming in late like he did, and it's securing a top 10 class of this year, having a full year under his belt, and having his team at number 3 in the country. I think it speaks volumes for the job that he and his staff are doing. And bottom line, often the coaches are very important, but if you don't get the Jimmys and Joes out there to coach them, you're not going to be very good. Again, just look at Alabama, what they've done. Look at the class that they brought in. That's as great as Nick Saban is. I mean, as a coach, one of the big reasons Alabama is who they are is the players are able to recruit, and that's what Kirby understands that. And so far, he's off to a great start.
Talking with Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com. By the way, Rivals had Georgia number 11 last year, and like you said, didn't get the full recruiting cycle in and still almost got a top 10 class.
Right. Now Dash, Rivals has upgraded Jake Fromm to a 5-star recruit. What's the story behind that?
Well, Jake went to the Army All-American game and was basically the best offensive player there for the entire week. I mean, we had a couple of Rivals analysts, national analysts, were there to watch him, and that was a good thing. And it's just really shown out, and it was really a no-brainer, obviously, in my opinion anyway, and obviously the opinion of the folks doing the rankings that he deserved to be a 5-star kid. I mean, before the Army game, I think he was number 36 in the country, moved up to number 20 in the country, and that was get that high. I mean, a 5-star is a guarantee.
Yeah, and Alabama, by the way, already has 7 5-stars in this class. They had 5 last year. They had 4 the year before. And let's see, the year before that, they had 6. So 7, 6, 5, 4, so 13. So they've had 22 5-star recruits.
That makes a big difference.
I mean, that's a recruiting class.
That's a recruiting class right there, 22 kids. 5 stars, and when you say 5-star kids, those are kids that the way Rivals does their rankings, they expect are going to be high NFL draft picks. So I mean, that's what I'm saying. You got to get the players to compete, and obviously Alabama's done that. But again, it looks like Kirby is getting there. But again, they don't have quite the 5 stars that Alabama does. But again, look at the other 4-star kids they've got. Some of the most of those in the country, I think, is like second, third Georgia has right now, and that's part of it too.
what's going on with Jamias Williams, and is Georgia got a legitimate shot at getting him away from South Carolina?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he came for, an unofficial visit. I guess it was last weekend, and he's going to come back this Friday, I know, for an official visit. And I imagine he's got one more trip he's going to take to South Carolina before he decides it. Now, he's told us that he's going to have a quote-unquote announcement on signing day. We're going to have two hats, South Carolina and Georgia. Yeah, I think Georgia's got a shot, but, again, he's been committed to South Carolina for so long now, it kind of makes you wonder if he would change his mind. But Georgia, I think, is in the picture, or else he wouldn't be coming back for a visit.
Now, we've kind of talked about this for a couple weeks now, but the situation in special teams with the kicking and Rodrigo Blankenship, we know that the kid from Columbia is coming in, but he's probably going to be a punter. Are there any other irons in the fire in terms of Georgia looking after any place kickers?
Well, there's some kickers out there. They're looking, I think, to bring in as a preferred walk-on. Cole Phillips is a guy from down in Cairo, Georgia, who they've offered a preferred walk-on scholarship. I've actually talked to him a couple of times, but he was kind of waiting to see after this dead period if I think Rice was going to offer him a scholarship or not. I think that was the only full scholarship right offer he hadn't possibly was going to get. But otherwise, he was going to choose between Georgia Southern and Marshall. But the kid grew up a Georgia fan, from what I understand, what he tells me, and Georgia would have a shot there if that offer from Rice doesn't come through for him.
Dash, the Dogs got kind of flying under the radar a little bit. Before I change the subject, we always ask this question. It's always kind of weird. Do you feel like all the verbal commitments that Georgia has right now are solid to Georgia? We always talk about Georgia trying to flip people. Does Georgia have a couple of shaky ones, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. I mean, one of them kind of cleared up this past week. Robert Beal, there's been, in defense of him, was kind of some rumors that he might decide to look around. But he came on Twitter a couple of days ago and reconfirmed to Georgia. But the biggest one, I think, probably right now is Devontae Wyatt, defensive tackle. South Carolina is really after him. He's been kind of hinting that he's not 100% to Georgia. If there was going to be a flip that I'd be worried about if I was the Bulldogs, it would probably be him.
If Georgia and South Carolina traded Wyatt and Jamias Williams, would that be a win for the Dogs?
Well, it depends on if Georgia can get in a defensive tackle, because right now they don't have a commitment from the other one. And even though they got all these guys coming back for next year, I know Trey Rock would like at least one guy in his class coming up. So I don't know. As good as Jamias is, I personally probably would just assume keep Devontae, because, again, I think he's a very underrated defensive tackle. He's well up to 300 pounds, and a guy I think could contribute pretty quickly for him.
Talk with Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com.
Now, Dash, looking at the way that this team is kind of shaping up for next season, obviously you feel good about the certain positions like running back and quarterback and things like that. What do you think Georgia's biggest area of concern is going to be for next season?
There's probably a couple of them. One I was kind of looking at, let's put a story together yesterday, was outside linebacker. Even though Georgia has Davin Bellamy, Lorenzo Carter back, the depth behind it right now is pretty lean, and you kind of worry there's an injury there that they're going to have to really depend on some really young kids to step up. Like, obviously, they got DeAndre Walker, has played a lot, and Chauncey Manak is a redshirt last year. I think he's got a bright future. But other than that, they don't have a lot of veteran presence back there to back up, which means they're going to be dependent on some of these incoming freshmen they've got coming in to maybe fill some of the voids. So that'd probably be my biggest one right now. And in wide receiver, I think they've got some good kids coming in as far as the recruiting goes. But you want to see some of those guys step up and really kind of take charge and really become some go-to guys, because that's really something I think Georgia kind of lacked, especially now with Isaiah and McKenzie moving on to the next level, hopefully.
Is a guy like Jaden Hunter as highly touted as he is, and a guy that'd be looking at a lot of playing time next year?
Well, we'll see. I think Jaden still has some development to do as far as physically anyway. But I think he's a guy they've been very high on for a long time, one of the earliest commitments, and so we'll see. I mean, there's a number of guys in this class I've got coming in who I think can make a pretty quick contribution.
All right, Dash, switch you to basketball. Did you go down to Gainesville this weekend?
I was down in Gainesville this weekend. Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness.
Made a drive.
Yeah, so Just kind of sum that up for us, what your thoughts were.
Well, first of all, I know coaches can't talk about recruiting. I mean, not recruiting, but officiating, but yeah. I can. That was one of the worst officiating games I've seen in my life. Both teams, it wasn't just the calls that were going against Georgia, although they did, I think, whistle Georgia like 27 fouls, which I think was the most Georgia had by far, you know, this year. It just took any kind of rhythm away from them and offensively whatsoever. Florida was called for 22, but there were some calls on this that was really head scratcher. I mean, Yonte Mate fouled out, and I think, two or three of those calls were away from the ball. I remember one play, he was called down in the paint. You see the official running from 30 feet away to make the call. I just don't see that. And right there at the end, Hill for Florida when J.J. Frazier was called for that blocking foul. Hill was like totally out of control, and I think everybody in the building thought it was going to be a charge, except the one man who countered wearing the stripes. So it was a very disconcerting game from that standpoint. I mean, that officiating was pretty bad.
Well, all that aside, I mean, was that one, though, that it felt like, I mean, Georgia still had almost a double-digit lead there in the second half?
Yeah, and they did. And then I thought the games I've personally seen, I thought they played one of the better games. I mean, even when Yonte fouled out, I thought the plan they had offensively was a good one, and they had a chance to win the game. And really, if they'd have gotten that last rebound off the free throw at the very end, I think they probably still would have won the contest game, would have never made it into overtime. But, it's one of those games, the opportunity was there for them. That would have been a huge win as far as their postseason aspirations go, and it just slipped away. It was very frustrating. I know everybody was very, frustrated after the game, and, a little missed it. They let it slip away, but they've just got to find a way to kind of harness the energy they play with, and if they can use that moving forward, I think they're going to be okay.
Hey, by the way, the Dogs got another basketball verbal commitment, correct?
Yes, they did. Mr. Hightower committed to Georgia yesterday. He's a kind of a late bloomer, so to speak. Didn't have a lot of offers initially, but he's done very well over the past 6-7 months, and in Georgia and Nebraska, and there's some other teams that kind of came in on him late, and he committed to the UGA yesterday. 6'4", 185-pound shooting guard, and somebody they're hoping he can come in and make a quick contribution.
To Sean Hightower, so he's
from Baltimore.
He's at prep school, right? He's
prep school. He's already graduated from Georgia. Yeah. One of the going to Mount Zion Prep, I believe, is where he's going. He used to go to College Hill High School over in Suwannee, but before he moved to Maryland. So he had those scholarship offers after, initially, but he picked up like 7, 8, or 9 over the past, 6 or 8 months. I mean, Auburn, I think, Tennessee, UConn, Nebraska, Oklahoma, all these schools started paying a lot of attention to him, and he showed the Dogs. So I think it's a very good get for Coach Fox yesterday.
Now, for the rest of the season, obviously, Georgia has some big games at home. He's still taking on the Gators here. He's still got Kentucky rolling in, and Texas, although their RPI isn't very good. You would think that Georgia pretty much, maybe outside of that Kentucky game, would need to win all of their home games and then hope they can do something they couldn't do against Florida, and that's go on the road and maybe win some games they shouldn't to make the tournament.
Yeah,
right?
In my opinion, they need to finish at least 500 on the road, kind of like they did a couple of years ago last time they went to the tournament. And they're actually in a portion of the schedule right now where if they do what they're supposed to do, they've got a chance to do, I think, pretty well with Vanderbilt tonight. A&M's kind of scuffling along right now. Alabama's a winnable game. Like you said, Texas is not living up to their expectations right now. So you got a four-game stretch at Georgia. If they're not going to be the favorite, all of them is going to be close. So I think it's an opportunity for Georgia right now to really make some hay before they got to go to Kentucky. There, I think, is what's January 31st before closing in against South Carolina. Florida coming back here to Tennessee, another winnable game. Mississippi State and then Kentucky here. They've got a chance to make it some ground, but again, I think the key for them is these road games. They've got to finish at least 500 in league play.
All right, Dash. Good stuff as always. Thanks for joining us here on a Tuesday, and next week we'll catch you back on a regular Monday.
Hey, we'll do it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Anthony Dasher from UGASports.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.